This is a very special episode for us as hosts and for the NGP community at large. A few weeks ago, our good friend Zion passed away.
If you didn't know Zion, he was seriously one of our biggest supporters since like day one. I think that he kept us going when we were feeling like, man, like this is tough, but he was always there. He submitted every Patreon poll. Like if we haven't heard from him in a while, he would still always send in something. And so he was just a really huge supporter of the show.
For a while there, he would email us, I think weekly. He would email weekly. Even if not to submit games to the Retro Master list, he would email us in just to tell us how great the last episode was.
Yeah, so encouraging.
Super, super encouraging. And I know we've like implied it, but beyond just being a big fan, he was the longest running producer that we had, correct?
Longest producer, yeah.
Yeah. So, to honor him, to kind of celebrate his memory, we decided last week to pick this week's game specifically from a smaller selection of games culled from all of the suggestions he made for Patreon pools in the past. And so today's episode of New Game Plus is dedicated to Zion.
We love you, Zion. We already miss you. This episode is dedicated to you. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 176. This past week, we got more Mortal Kombat 11 reveals.
Yay. Yeah, we did.
Bethesda gave Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind away for free.
Cool. Didn't know that.
Nintendo announced two new models for the Switch.
I heard. I'm mad.
And Final Fantasy VII dropped for the Switch.
Been playing. Wah, wah, wah.
But none of those things, even combined, add up to the excitement that was surrounding the retro gaming tournament in round two. It was insane.
Oh my goodness.
In the membrane.
It's true.
Millions of people across the continent. We're talking about this lineup and the upsets. Guys, round two is over and the Super 16 have been decided. You've seen the results. What do you think have been the biggest surprises in the last round?
Biggest upset, I guess. It's an upset, but maybe just biggest surprise is what you asked. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 beat Final Fantasy X.
Final Fantasy X is down in the grave. Here's the thing.
Done.
I'm not too offended. At least a Final Fantasy is in the running still.
Seven? We still got seven.
Yes, seven's still there. But I think that's the only one. But Final Fantasy X did. And I understand, obviously, you can't compare the two titles. Very
sure.
Different. But Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 was a staple for a certain group of gamers in a couple year span.
Including me. I think I still would have picked 10. But what about you, Kenny?
I don't know that there were any super surprises for me, but there were a couple of places that I was worried. I was very worried about Majora's Mask going into Halo 2. Zelda games are just heavy, and so thankfully that one turned out correct.
No, I just saw.
I know, and it crushed your dreams.
No, dude.
Oh yeah, Majora's Mask.
It's
bye-bye.
Done,
and I knew it would lose, but I was bummed to see that Contra was going up against Mega Man 2 because Contra deserves to get a little farther in the tournament. It's probably not win the tournament good.
This is far,
but it's classic, and so
man, freak Halo right. 2.
Let me ask you this then. Who do you think is going on from the Super 16 into the Awesome 8? That's the question. So let me just ask you and get your quick thoughts. So we've got Final Fantasy VII versus Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Final Fantasy VII.
I'm saying seven. Yeah.
Oh, both of you are in seven. All right. A Link to the Past versus Donkey Kong Country.
Link to the Past.
Donkey Kong Country.
Super Mario Bros. Or Super Mario World?
World.
By far.
I got World.
Brothers. Wait, oh, no. This isn't...
That's the first.
No, World.
Yeah,
I think world. So, by the way, Super Mario Bros. Lost to Diablo 2 in the previous round, which, whatever.
You mean 1 to Diablo 2.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant. So the opposite of what I said. Super Mario 64 versus Ocarina of Time.
This is the worst one in the Awesome 8. I hate this so much, I'm not answering.
No, this except one's Ocarina easy, of Time. And Ocarina of Time will win.
Yeah, me too.
Ooh. Turtles in Time and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Turtles in Time.
THPS2.
I think so too. Mega Man 2 versus Star Fox 64.
MM2. Ooh, and it's making it far, Dr. Wily.
I'm going to say Mega Man 2, but Star Fox could rally.
It could.
Street Fighter 2 versus Super Mario Bros. 3.
I got Street Fighter.
And no, SMB3.
It is.
So my vote is easy, SMB3, but it's going to be SF2.
You think?
I think so. I'm surprised that it's gone this far. It's a great game, but.
It is a good game.
All right, and then finally, Chrono Trigger versus Halo 2. Which one will win?
I got Chrono
that one's
easy.
So hard.
No, it's not. It's easy.
Halo 2 is going to win, but I don't know. I don't even know if it should.
It might win.
And it's probably one of my favorite games of all time.
Well, join in the fun. NGPpodcast.com/tournament to vote for the games that you think deserve to move from the Super 16 into the Awesome 8. Voting is only going to get harder from here. Some would even say nightmare difficulty. So don't go rogue. Cast your votes and go on this multiplayer adventure with us.
Dang.
Like in our retro game of the week, Diablo 2.
Overview.
Well segued and well pronounced.
Diablo 2 came out in the year 2000 and was developed and published by a company called Blizzard. May have heard of them before. Being Diablo 2, you might have guessed it is a sequel to Diablo.
I mean, that'd be a fair guess.
We played Diablo as a part of the podcast. I'm sure it was a Patreon pool at some point, probably.
I think it was. Yeah, I think so. We couldn't have gotten that lucky.
And Diablo 2 is a continuation of the story where you are a new hero following in the wake of Diablo 1's hero who has now been corrupted. And that's not a spoiler. You know that by now. And you find that out early on in the game. Like its predecessor, it's an action role-playing hack and slash game for the PC. So it's a lot of clicking. You've got this unique view. It's the not top-down, but the isometric viewpoint. And you're controlling one little figure as well, mainly one little figure that's running around and defeating squads and squads and tons of hordes of enemies. And you can probably tell from its name alone, if you don't know anything else about the series itself, that it is this dark fantasy theme complete with skeleton enemies, demons, and a whole lot of pentagrams. So don't play this game around your mother.
Yeah, or your dad, or your pastor, or
especially
your
not,
sibling.
Or your kids, or your spouse.
Yeah, and I'll add on to that and beat Kenny to it because I know he's going to say it because his theory of sequels are always better, I think, applies here. I think a lot of people would agree with that, actually. Diablo 2 is maybe the most famous in the series, I would argue, and maybe the most loved.
Diablo 2 has been, it's been cited as one of the greatest video games of all time. Mm-hmm. So that's many people's opinion. They think that this is a great title. Now, in our completely flawed tournament, it didn't make it past round two, but...
Yeah.
It's all right. I blame everybody who got that one wrong, so it's all good.
It is a standalone game, but it did have an expansion, which expanded on the content in the game. It came out a little less than a year later after the game's release. It's called Lord of Destruction. And in that expansion, it really updated a lot of things. It gave a couple new character classes, dozens and dozens of new weapons and items, and an entirely new fifth act to the game as well. So most people that are playing the game are playing it with the Lord of Destruction expansion. And it's still Diablo 2. It's just
better.
Expanded.
You're going to want it.
It is a single player title. However, Diablo 2, much more than Diablo 1, and we'll talk about it further in this podcast, it was created in large part to be a multiplayer online experience.
Absolutely. This was kind of in that sweet spot of when online stuff was finally getting to not be bad. And though it's a single player game, the way loot works and the way itemization works and the way you can party up and there's synergies among playing with other people and for a million other reasons, I really think of it personally, at least, more as a multiplayer game than a single player game.
And I love that because I think a lot of people would think it's single player, and I'm guessing that's Dustin's stance on it, but we'll see. But I think I'm with you. We have played Diablo 2 together, Kenny, a couple different times, and it's always so fun to like gear together. Like, I just think that this game was really breaking grounds with the whole online experience.
Gameplay.
So before you even get into the gameplay mechanics proper, you're presented with the age-old choice of choose your character. And I personally love the cast in Diablo 2, so maybe we can just even start out with like the roster of who you can select in playing this game, because it is an RPG. It's an adventure game. It's a looting game, but it's an RPG.
Yeah, to some degree, you're not going to, you do have a character name, but like you don't build out a lot of the features. You really change the look of the character.
Oh, sure.
It's either going to be a male or a female. So you're a lot more limited on what you're doing in this game as opposed to like some of the more modern RPGs. But you're still, you know, controlling a character. You've named the character. You pick the class. And as we do kind of talk through the classes, you know, quickly, I think it's good to point out here, even from the beginning, that Diablo 2 really is that. And maybe y'all will argue with me because you know the games much more than I. I've only got a cursory knowledge and experience with both of these games, only playing them as a part of the podcast. But Diablo 2 is Diablo 1 just enhanced. Again, please, I'd love to hear if I'm wrong on that, but I really think that this is just a continuation of the graphics and the gameplay and the mechanics and everything. It is just an upgrade, but the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
not in a bad way.
As long as you're comfortable with your upgrade being pretty expansive and expansive enough that to some degree it even redefine some things, I would fully agree.
I would love to know, as we're going through the gameplay section, what things you think were completely redefined, because it's been a while since I played Diablo, but I honestly felt, and I do not mean this in a negative way, that I was playing in large part the same game, which I loved Diablo 1.
Yeah, I think that they knew that they were onto something after that first game, and they were confident in when they made this second game. And so, of course, you're going to feel like, hey, this is a really similar game because they nailed it on the first one. And so they're like, let's just improve it. So I think you're right. I don't think it's heresy to say it's basically the same game, or at least it felt like it at times.
No, one of the important ways they did distinguish it, though, is in much more class variety. And I know, Nolan, you already jumped into classes. And
nice, bringing us back.
Yeah, we started to talk about that. So before we jump too far into other differences, let's real quick go through some of the classes you guys can play. What did you guys play as this week?
I played as the Barbarian. I always play as the Barbarian. I've tried every class before, but the Barb is just a powerhouse, very easy to play, but has a ton of different like play styles. So I played Barbarian.
Now, canonically, I believe that the Barbarian was the class of character in the first game. I don't know if y'all know that. But
I actually didn't know that.
Someone that's big on the story, I think the original character in Diablo 1 was a Barbarian. So that's just interesting. So that is a class that does carry over, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I played the Necromancer. And you guys know that.
Yeah.
Totally different than what I would historically
do. Absolutely. That's a surprise for me, actually.
I love that you did that, though.
Antonin probably commented all week, one of our listeners in Discord, about how he's so shocked that I didn't go Paladin. And he's so right, and I love that he even knows me in that regard, because Paladin is the class that I would go. I would go and get in the fray. I would be able to fight by myself and tackle everything on. But when I was pulling up Diablo 2 this week to create a first play, and really my first experience with it, I wanted to do something different. And correct me if I'm wrong. So what two classes come with the expansion? It's Assassin and what else?
Druid.
And Druid. Okay, so Paladin would have been an option. But for whatever reason, I was feeling frisky, or I don't know, Kenny.
Frisky?
But I chose Necromancer.
You can't say I was feeling frisky, and so I played a Necromancer class.
That's exactly, just weird. Yeah. That's exactly what occurred. I wouldn't normally do it. I went Necromancer. I'm glad that I did, and we'll be able to talk more about that. But the Necromancer is one that... it's one of its primary features is it summons undead beings to fight on its behalf.
So fun.
Kenny?
I'm boring. I went the total like rip on my own nostalgia route. And when I've played this game in the past, I always played as the sorceress.
Yep.
And so I went back to that familiar territory and just wanted to relive some of the things that I know and love the best.
That's just mage magic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, here's a little competitive insight, because yes, the game is competitive and we can talk about how, but the sorceress is by far the strongest class you can play in the game. If you want to min-max your character, so to speak, you go sorceress and you do crazy damage.
So you've got in the vanilla original Diablo 2 game, you've got four different acts. Acts. A-C-T-S. You've got four different acts like a play. And then again, with the expansion, you've got a fifth. And so it's set up in this kind of story division where with each different act, you have a different hub, a different town that is kind of your central location for your quests and to meet up with a different cast of characters. Some that you're going to find familiar from the first game, which was amazing, even for me who hadn't finished the first game.
That's so fun. Even you loved getting to go back to Tristram.
I got to go through a portal back to Tristram. Mm-hmm. So this isn't taking place long after the first game. No. Like we're not in a different world. We're in the same world. We're not even decades or I don't know what the like concrete like time delineation is, but from the way that it sets it up, it's months maybe after, and you are able to go through a portal to Tristram, which is the hub town of the first game, and connect with like the iconic man from that town. And one of the things that I remembered about him, other than his voice, was that he was always able to identify my items. So I was always able to bring these unidentified items back to him, and he would do it for free, I believe, or discount or something. And that carried over, and he did it for this game. And as soon as I got him back to town, he said, "I'll identify your items for free." And it just brought back so many warm feelings.
Stay a while and listen.
I'm so glad you did the impression, because really I was going to if you didn't, and you do better impressions than I do.
Much.
Oh, Deckard Cain.
I like the idea of the different acts having different locations and a few different cast of characters and progressing, because that's different from the first
Absolutely.
Game. The first game, you're
and
only
something that was lacking in the first one is, you get a whole bunch of different like level dungeons, but it's all in the same place. And so it feels a little stale and it doesn't feel nearly as epic in scope. But this one, like, you're traveling to really cool and important places, and the story just feels bigger to me because they let it move out of, you know, one location.
And I don't know if you're able to do this in the first game. Again, you guys will have to help me. But in this one, I think one of the things that they added, or at least a key thing that is a part of the game, is that you're able to get hirelings. I think you could do that in the first one.
I don't remember, actually. I've only played that one once.
You do.
I know that even as a part of the story in this one, you're given some team members for various things. Now, they can die easily, but you can equip them, and you can you can't control them, but you can give them armor and upgrade their weapons and different things like that. And I thought that was cool, because there are going to be times where you're not running solo, even when you're playing single player. Mm-hmm. But again, for me as a necromancer, I was running around with, like, by the end of my play,
50 homies already.
I can have, I can eventually get tons, but I had like three or four skeleton guys with me at all times. I had this golem with me at all times. Like I was building up a crew and I would just go and watch them fight. And then when one drops, I would raise another.
That's how you play Necromancer. You did that right. Like that class is so fun.
Yeah. And I'm early on. Like I'm right at the end of Act One. And one of the cool things is that you're given various quests, but not all of them are mandatory to move on to the next act. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking to complete the game, you can skip a lot of the story content and just go straight for the key quests. And once you complete those, it opens up the next town, moves you to the next town, leads you into the next act.
Something else about this game that's unique to the series but was a carryover from the first game is the way that your inventory works. So you're looting like crazy in these games. It's RNG-based drops. There's some algorithm in there that helps you find class-specific items a little more frequently than other characters, but it's random items that you're collecting.
It's not super heavy in this game. Later ARPGs sort of cater to that even more. But you're kind of just getting random drops for the most part.
And you're picking those up and they go in your inventory, which is a grid system. If you open up your inventory, you'll see squares. And then the items that you pick up have graphical images, very detailed representations, I might add, that take up space.
That's the same for Diablo 1, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's okay. A carryover. I just think they improved it slightly with the addition of the books that you can hold your scrolls in. I don't think that was in the first game, but you can get these books of Town Portal. Instead of having like 30 Town Portal scrolls in your inventory, you just have a book that carries them all. So I thought that was a really nice quality of life thing about the game, because the inventory space is actually really hard to deal with sometimes.
That's one of the biggest frustrations of this game, and it's there on purpose that your inventory space is super limited. And the cool thing is you mentioned those town portal scrolls. The enemies drop tons of them. You can purchase them for fairly cheap. And so at any time in a dungeon, out in the field, you can use that portal and go back to town. Either sell your stuff or put your stuff in your cash there, your inventory there, and then you can go right back through the portal and pick up right where you were. That's one of the cool features of this game.
Heal yourself if it's a boss battle that you can't do on your own and you've got to cheese your way through it, like I did a few times this week.
You can literally run away from the boss, cast that town portal, mm-hmm. and get out of there if things are going south.
Yeah, it's awesome. I have to do that a lot in this game, actually, because if you do skip those optional quests, then you might be a little under-leveled.
And this game does a good job of, I think at least, of nailing the difficulty level. I feel like if you want to play it really carefully and take it slow, it's a game that you could play, you know, sort of hardcore style where death truly is, and there is a hardcore option, which is nice. But I think if you're not playing that mode, you should expect to die. And that's very on theme mm-hmm. for how difficult Diablo 1 was as well. Like you walk into a room with a bunch of ranged characters without being ready, or you forget to click a button on time, or you underestimate how difficult a boss is going to be, or don't keep health pots on you that you need, or even just flub your fingers, misclicking. It's certainly a game that's going to keep you on your toes.
And the great thing is, even if you do die, as long as you're not playing that hardcore mode, you're able to go back and find your body and pick up your items. You don't really lose anything other than time. Is that correct?
Yeah, a little bit of gold, but nothing that's really worthwhile.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, you are going to die. And even the way that this game is created is to encourage you to play it again once you're finished. Yep. Now, I think most developers want you to have replay value and play it again. But like this game in particular, the harder difficulties and the more times you play it, some of the better items, better drops, it fundamentally changes the way that you play the game the second time around.
Yeah, like end game doesn't even truly start, I would argue, until like your third playthrough through, like in
super
hell.
Interesting.
Yeah, like it's intentional.
I still haven't wrapped my mind around that because I've never done that yet. I've never completed one of these mm-hmm. games and then played it again because I play this game wrong. Like, I'll admit that. My first play, I even acknowledged that, dude, people that know D2 are going to be screaming at their screen right now. I wasn't even running. I was walking.
It was so hard to watch.
That's
yeah.
so frustrating.
I didn't even know how to toggle run on. I wasn't concerned with it because I was taking my time. I like to go slow at these games, uncover the full map. I go around the perimeter, then I start doing the middle. Yeah. And that's not how you're supposed to play this game.
Because those maps are randomly generated and you're not really missing much.
And they are large and there's different enemies around. So I was able to level up considerably because I was fighting loads of trash mobs. But yeah. That's how I enjoy it. And that's why when you guys got me to play Diablo 2 with you for the very first time, maybe a year or so ago.
Well, it was right after D1 on the podcast. You were on your Diablo high. You really liked that game.
I really liked it. I continued to play it. And the guys are like, hey, we could all get Diablo 2 and we could play it together. So I was like, okay, I'll definitely give it a try. And it was the worst experience of my life.
It's unfortunate, but it's our fault.
These guys had played the game before.
Totally
and
our fault.
And they play it like it's supposed to be played. I completely understand that. And they had played it before. So the true fans of this game pretty much don't care about the story, don't care about talking to people. They're just wanting to go beat the game and get the loot. And so I'm literally running behind them at all times, running out of stamina, and then walking behind them as they're killing everything in the path. I'm picking up only the gold and the scrolls they leave behind and just completely lost. And it's bad for all
Dustin
of us.
Was still like reading Akara's slow as HE double hockey sticks text, and we're all like halfway to Andariel. Did you get a nice sword drop?
It was pretty bad. Now that you have a little bit better sense of the game though, do you feel like you
don't think he would
play with us and enjoy it?
I would still hate that. No, I will not play with you, even if you invite me nicely. These games I play wrong and totally different, and I enjoy that play style. Maybe if I slowly methodically beat the game a couple of times, then I could also do this other version of it, the speedrunning version. But for me to enjoy, again, I've said it a billion times, I like most story and characters, and you don't get tons of character development here probably, but you do get tons of story if you're looking and reading and watching. But again, that's not first and foremost what this game is created for, especially Diablo 2, which again I think does a huge focus on the multiplayer aspect, which I've got to ask you guys, were you able to play any this week?
Multiplayer, no. I kept it single player like you. I wanted to do that actually on purpose because I've done the multiplayer. I know I like it, and it's been quite a while since I've only done single player. But I still love single player. I actually don't have a preference over the two. And you say that we play the game the way it's supposed to be played. I mean, it's up to you how you want to play it, but I think what appeals to quote unquote Diablo players isn't the story, you're right. It's the level progression and the way you build your character. So maybe we can like briefly hit on that. You're building your character how you want. So you have a tree. It's basically a tree system where you start at the top of this skill list. And it's a very basic skill like smash or something, like you hit harder, but then you can like branch off and go into different paths and end up with like crazy cyclone whirlwind barb or just a leap double strike barb. So like there's variety in how you're building out the characters.
Barb is barbarian for those of you that like me don't know Diablo.
What did I say?
Barb? I mean, you're just talking in lingo that most of us don't understand.
Well, barbarians. And I think that's the appeal for a lot of like hardcore, maybe even PC gamers, probably old school PC gamers.
Personal computer.
Oh, yes. Personal computers. Dell HP lingo. Pavilions.
Kenny, you're killing me.
Did you play multiplayer this week? And why not?
I didn't. I also wanted to kind of be a purist to just sort of getting the game as like an original single player experience for what we've talked about. There's tons of multiplayer sort of aspects to this game, but I was more familiar with those because that's how I've played in the past. But the game goes much more quickly when you're playing in a group. You don't get as good a sense of kind of the pace and the difficulty, and you know, people online have stuff, and so it's a lot easier to get really good items, and just it fundamentally feels different playing single player versus multiplayer. And I wanted to kind of be true to the like retro style feel of the game. Although I love playing multiplayer, and after this week may fall back into dabbling occasionally because it's a classic.
Aged. I've mentioned it already, but Diablo 2 is a, and Diablo is a, it's a fixed isometric viewpoint. And so I think for some people, that might be an element that is aged and annoys you because you don't have control over it. And so you're not able to freely move your camera around and see different angles. So there were times where I am wanting to see something, or, you know, because you go in buildings and it does that thing where then the roof kind of becomes invisible, but then yeah. I can't really, the walls don't, so I still can't see in the house fully, and me who's trying to inspect everything, it just makes it difficult. And for those of you that are coming in, you know, as a modern gamer, I think that is going to be one of the frustrations that you need to overcome.
I don't know that the view itself is frustrating. Just because to me...
No, it is. I just said that, so it is.
No. I think, like, ARPGs, like, you're just going to get
wow.
that.
Wow. Action role-playing games.
Oh, my goodness. This guy.
You're killing me.
Get a dick.
I'm trying to... Y'all are Diablo players, and everyone else is just like,
they know what we're talking about.
We're a retro gaming podcast. We're allowed to drop some gaming lingo.
Where three guys play four games.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I wasn't annoyed by it either. Continue.
I think the view is fine. I do think they didn't do a great job of making sure it works all the time in this game. There's definitely places that you can have an enemy that's like behind a pillar that you can't click on very easily or see. And, you know, there's just arrows coming at you from nowhere. And, oh, hey, another, you know, bone archer killed me. And so they could have probably done that a lot better. But to me, the sort of style of view is just more about the genre than a choice they made.
The simplicity of the fixed camera actually has some staying power, because you see games like Path of Exile, POE, for you hardcore Diablo fans, I'm trying to dumb it down. It's a modern ARPG that is very, very popular, and it's actually based off of Diablo 2. The reason they made it is because they didn't like Diablo 3 and they wanted Diablo 2. And it's isometric view, and it's the same concept, and it just, I don't know. I liked it. I
look
don't
at y'all trying to defend. I said it might be a frustration to overcome. That's all. And
no,
it's
you just
true.
Said no. I just said it. It's bad.
Listen. No, I never said it's bad. Whatever. We can move on from the isometric viewpoint. I just think it's something to take note of.
Oh, okay, get your notes out.
Music and music is wonderful. It's this series has created some incredible ambient music that isn't overwhelming and it doesn't detract. It's the minor chords and the eerie feelings, and it really adds to the what you're encountering and the things that you're going through. Although I will say, since the majority of where I was in Diablo 2 was a lot more open, I wasn't near as scared as I was with the music and the events of Diablo 1.
They try to, just because it's sort of brighter characters and more colorful, and it's hard, but like, let's like compare the butcher, because there's like a butcher character in
this game.
It's
the first
game.
Main boss in Diablo 1.
Right, and there's a similar kind of boss that you fight relatively early in this game as well. And like, they just function so differently. Like, one is this terror that runs at you that you can't really escape unless you're overpowered or really do some novel things to fight him. And he just destroys you, and it's the stuff nightmares are made of. And the other sort of follows that theme. But then you can kite him and kill him, and it's just not as scary. And I think in general, though, this game keeps the really dark theme, that it's not as truly dark and gritty. It's sort of a, I don't know, almost a PG-13 to Diablo's R. But it still works because it allows for this character diversity and puts emphasis in different places. I don't know. I mean, later, I guess it gets heavier again as the story goes on, but I just didn't feel the tone was the same.
Like, you do end up in hell. That's one of the final stages.
Well, I do really think that it is the music, the ambience really helps with the vibe of the game, including the fear factor. The composer's name is Matt Ullman, and he's a genius. He's won awards for this soundtrack and for the Diablo franchise. He's like the guitar, the acoustic, like he used an acoustic guitar for Act One to set the ambience. And it's like, man, he did so much with very little. It's just, yeah, it's minor chords. I love the music. I think it ages so well. What do you guys think about the graphics? Very PC.
Very PC. Someone's not playing this game for the graphics. And while I think they do well with the graphics, none of it's just stunning to me. It's not like a beautiful game. They're not going for beauty. I don't know. It's hard because it is PC 2000, small, really small character models and textures.
Yeah, I think it was good for its time. You know, you compare it to even D1 or just other titles, and it looks good. It definitely could take a note from the StarCraft playbook and get an HD reskin, and it would help the game be significantly more replayable today. On big monitors, and, you know, being able to do the modern things like, you know, tabbing out of your window and those kind of things that are just more like modern day PC conveniences.
And fixing the font on the items. Sometimes it's really hard to read the stats on an item. You see all the affixes on it and you're like, wait, what am I, what?
There's a few other really jumbled, subtle quality of life things that they could improve as well. Just
like the camera isometric.
No.
Well, maybe, old man. Maybe for some people.
No, not anyone.
But in general, I think for when it came out, it looked good. And I don't think they're bad enough graphics that it's unplayable today. I just think it looks a little dated.
I will say that out of all PC titles, the coolest thing this week was simply downloading the game and then playing it.
Dude, right?
And it's Blizzard and it's Diablo 2, so it's like, again, some people say it's the greatest game of all time. So they have kept it up to where it is so playable on any kind of PC, any kind of even Mac operating system. They've made it available so you can still play it today with complete ease. You don't even have to do any kind of virus downloads, Kenny. You don't have to do any kind of like finagling. You download the game, press play, and you're able to play on your monitor.
No launcher, it's just the game. It's cheap, like you can
completely light.
Yeah, it's super lightweight. It doesn't take any time. Like you could install it on a different computer and log in to Blizzard and play it. Like I'm with you. Like that's rare. It's sad, but that's rare for PC games in the modern age.
Well, and they've kept up servers, which again speaks to its popularity. My gosh, yeah. A game that had multiplayer that came out when this came out, that you can still play multiplayer, at least in the native experience or close enough to the native experience, is almost unheard of today.
And they reset the leaderboards.
Yeah, but it's still not like, it's not being developed, but the community that still plays is being actively maintained.
Yeah.
And that's really cool from a developer point of view. And I love that. It's kind of honoring to the people who love your game and keep playing it, to keep it up.
So if you would like to play Diablo 2, it's super easy to do. You can get it from the Blizzard website now. You could also check out the sequel, Diablo 3, which many would say is not as good.
Here's the thing. That's a whole episode. Let's not.
We don't need to get into it.
It's fine.
That was released in 2012, not near retro game. Or if you're super into the Diablo series, just play the phone game that's going to be out soon, Diablo Immortal.
What, y'all don't
We're
have cell phones?
We're also not getting into that. Cans of worms. Too many cans of worms.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episode, we determine whether or not the game gets our New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Kenny, why do you give Diablo 2 your vote for New Game Plus status?
I mean, it is a foregone conclusion, so I think it's fair to set it up for that. It's a game I've loved. It's a game I loved again this week and put some serious time into. Even beyond our little bit of treatment of it, this game has tons of replayability and features. The way loot works and the rarity of things and the way in-game itemization works with runes and rune words and waiting for unique magic drops that are super rare And the fact that there's people literally playing it today just sums up how great a title it was for me. It was one of those childhood defining games for me. I've always loved Blizzard stuff, so it's not a surprise, but this one was, always has been New Game Plus status, and I'm super glad that we got to play it on this really special episode this week.
All right, Nolan, why do you give it?
I give it New Game Plus because, unlike Kenny, it was not my childhood. I came across this game later in life, in high school. I knew of it. I had seen someone play it when I was younger, but around this time, but I actually got into it later in life. And at that time, it had aged. I mean, it had been long enough that, like, it shouldn't be a fun game or an appealing game to some, to a teenager, or, you know. So I picked the game up and it was still amazing. And there's something about it. I don't think it will ever be irrelevant. I think it's always going to be playable. And I cannot say that about a lot of games, especially even games I give my new game vote, my new game plus vote for. I can't confidently say I think it'll always be relevant. This game is amazing. Anyone can play it and like it. And so many other things, but I don't have time. I love this game.
This series in general, and this title especially, is 100% genre defining. We drop that term sometimes, and it's occasionally justified, but this game, it's totally justified.
All right, Dustin.
I, too, give Diablo 2 my vote for New Game Plus status. I really, really enjoyed playing this game this week. I did a first play, as I've already said, and did some streaming of a lot of my experience. But I do think Diablo 1 is better for me.
Okay, interesting.
It feels like D2 was really created to be an incredible multiplayer experience. They still do well in the single-player campaign, but I think D1 shines more with depth of story and character and ambiance and feeling. And maybe for me, it was because it was new. And really, really, truly, Diablo 2, I felt that it is just the extension of the first game, which, again, that is not a bad thing. I think they improved some things, especially some of the mechanics and stuff. But I think that began with Diablo 1. No one's going to agree with that, or disagree with that. And there was some kind of charm and depth there that I think is there in Diablo 2, but is more spread out because of why or for what purposes the game was created. So Diablo 2 is a good game. It's a great game. I completely understand why so many people have fallen in love with it. It might even be near the pinnacle of its genre. Mm-hmm. And so it absolutely deserves New Game Plus status and received it from all three of us, meaning that Diablo 2 is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had many write in. In fact, more than ever before, probably. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. And the ones that we do include, I've kind of cut down and abbreviated somewhat. Carl wrote in and he said, my first time writing in regarding an episode and playing along as well. Well, welcome, Carl. This game holds a special place in my heart as it was my first real experience with online gaming as I was about 11 when mm-hmm. it came out. Diablo 2 was everything I loved about RPGs thrown into a blender with an online feature. This game is responsible for my very first all-nighter as I didn't actually own it. I played it at a best friend's house. I strongly believe this game holds up today and is better than most current games trying to obtain the magic that was this game. Hoping you guys give it New Game Plus as I do.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. That's really cool, though. All-nighters are, like, definitely huge moments. Like, I remember my first all-nighter was Wind Waker, so it's cool that this one was his.
Also, Carl, does your mom know that you're playing this?
Ooh.
She's going to hear this. Antonin wrote in and said, Diablo 2 turned RPGs on their head. From the potion spamming mechanic to the grid-based inventory and even to the idea that there are no set maps for the majority of the levels. On top of that, Diablo 2 was meant to be constantly replayed on different difficulties for different experiences and using one of the many classes, which are all very unique in how they're played. I love that each experience is so different, and that's mainly because the game is mechanic-driven. And that's one of its drawbacks. The game mechanics are awesome, but unfortunately, the rich story suffers for it. It's really easy to skip the rich story in lieu of playing and grinding the game some more, which is so much fun. It's really easy to miss the part that many of the enemies and demons you play against were, in fact, humans not too long ago, or that the corrupt world in Act 1 has become so only very recently after the Wanderer passed through the lands, who turns out to be the Wanderer from Diablo 1. Sorry, the Warrior from Diablo 1. Did you notice that some homes out in the marches and plains still have live cows in their barns? And did you know that Bloodraven was one of the rogues that fought against Diablo and Tristram? I highly recommend reading the books if you like Diablo 2, and if you like books. They expand on all the ideas on the background of many of the bosses and even characters from the lore in general.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those games that doesn't feed you the story anyways, like much like a Square game, for instance. You have to like look up extra stuff, you know? And for a lot of people, that's just not a focus.
Antonin was probably the biggest conversationalist regarding D2 in the Discord this week. He loves this game. It was really cool. He read the books with his mom as a child. It's one of the ways they bonded together. And so I just loved all of his input and gushing this week.
I'm not surprised that they had, but I didn't realize that they had done novelizations of all of this stuff. I don't know in my mind how well it translates, but I love the series, and so kind of interesting as a suggestion.
Coconut Wizard said, D2 was one of the games I can truly say lived up to its hype and inspired generations of games after it. I can remember after devouring Diablo 1, once the trailer came out for 2, I would watch it all the time in anticipation. The gameplay was everything that was simple and addicting as the first game, along with an expanded world, new characters that were fresh at the time, and crazy replay value from the randomly generated quests and maps. I can still play this game and feel the addiction creeping in just as prominently as when I first played it. New Game Plus, all the way.
I love that everyone kind of agrees on this. I was wondering if we'd have someone write in that would be like, nah, I hate this game. But
yeah, I really don't see, unless someone just doesn't like this kind of genre, you know? Or maybe the dark aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Those are really the only two things.
Right. If it's won you over, though, I feel pretty confident.
Tim wrote in and said, revisiting Diablo 2 after many years was like playing for the very first time. It has awesome gameplay, music, and graphics. Classic Blizzard that made me a fan all those years ago. A lot more can be said, but I'll leave that to you guys. I'm glad I was able to play along this week and talk with the awesome community here. New Game Plus status from me. It's the time of the week to set aside Diablo 2 and randomly select a new game from our expansive Retro Master list. You can find the links to our Retro Master list on our social media or on our website, ngppodcast.com. It's going to be a random game that is 15 years old or older on any console, any genre. Let's find out what game we are playing for the next 7 days. Is it weird to anyone else that PlayStation 2 is now retro?
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Should we stop our podcast? Or
yeah, I was thinking about quitting anyways.
Yeah. We are going to the Nintendo 64. No, we're going to the PlayStation 2. Just a random question. We're going to the PlayStation 2 in the year 2002 with a 3D platform video game developed by Insomniac Games and published by Sony Computer Entertainment.
Okay. So far, this is great.
It is the first in a series that is beloved by many, and it is called Ratchet and Clank.
Oh my goodness. Huh. How is
RNC?
That retro?
RNC.
Hold on. Yeah.
No, it's
sure
gotta be
old, guys.
They Are just sure? redid the game a couple years ago. Like they reimagined the whole series, started all over again in 2016. So if they're able to do that, then we can say that this original from 2002 is retro.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually stunned that that qualifies.
Which one is the robot? Okay. We know a lot about Ratchet and Clank, and we're going to find out even more this week as we play. Play along with us. Find a copy of Ratchet and Clank.
Join us in Discord. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click join the discussion, and it's a free invite to Discord, which is a voice and text chatting thing for gamers, and we have a awesome community, as you've probably heard.
We want to say a humongous thanks to those of you who support our podcast creating whims on a week-to-week basis by hopping on patreon.com and becoming patrons of the show. We've got a bunch of new people to welcome to the patron wagon this week. Woo. So in no particular order, Corey, welcome. Michael,
welcome.
Tim,
welcome.
And Scott,
welcome.
Have all begun to support the show on an ongoing basis. So thank you guys so much for
welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome to the NGP family. We also have a new producer level supporter.
What?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Super hype. So
that is
Zach, huge thanks for hopping on and becoming a producer level supporter of the show.
His name is Zach, huge thanks.
Welcome.
Zach, huge welcome. Thanks. new nickname, calling it. And of course, we want to give a big shout out to all of our other producer level supporters as well. That's Alex, Bill, Dear Baby, Michael, and forever at producer level status in our hearts, of course, Zion.
Yes. You can always find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. You can look us up on YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. And word of mouth goes a long way. Tell someone about New Game Plus this week. Hey, wear one of our t-shirts. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play the retro game, Ratchet & Clank. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm still Deckard Cain.
And this has been New Game Plus.